Italians. Boy, Johnny gave me a great little joke the other day. It was cool. This Italian man, he writes to his son. His son's in jail. He was in the mafia, you know. And he said, boy, I wish you could be back here, son. It's time to plant the ground so we can plant the tomatoes. I need you to come back like old times and dig up the ground for me so I can plant my tomatoes. And he writes back from the prison, no, Dad, don't plow up that ground. That's where I buried the bodies. The next day, the FBI was up there digging all it up. And of course, they didn't find no bodies. And his dad said, the FBI came up and dug all the ground. And the boy wrote back, Dad, that's the best I could do for you. Now go plant your tomatoes. I thought it was pretty good. I don't know where Johnny Black finds all that stuff, man. Amen? They were tapping his wire. Why do they always pick on us Italian guys, huh? We're just nice people. It's a nice pizza, amen? And the meatballs. Okay, the membership of a church must be a saved membership. Those who are not sure of their salvation are very welcome to all our church services. However, only those actually on the membership roll of the church may hold offices and positions, because you got to be saved to be a member of Bethel Baptist Church, and plus you have to have believer's baptism, which we're going to talk about next Sunday, and maybe the latter part of this class. Now, there are three very important reasons for this. First of all, and I think we went over these last week, didn't we? The greatest, you teachers, the greatest lesson of teaching is repetition. Repetition is the greatest teacher, Brother Mal. I always review what I taught the week before, because it's amazing. Then, of course, you have new people, too, but it's amazing. You know from Romans, don't you? When I used to go, Dr. Brooke would teach four-hour classes on Romans. The first 45 minutes to the first hour, he would review what he taught the week before. And so repetition is the greatest teacher you can ever have, by the way. Then, first of all, there are three reasons that they must have a saved membership. First of all, the scriptures have to be satisfied as those make up the membership of the church. In other words, the scripture says you must be born again. And Jesus is building a church. We're going to talk about that church next week. And he started a church here. And it's for only believers. Are you with me? To be a member of his church, you got to be saved. And so, to satisfy scriptures. Number two, so that we do not give a false hope to those who have not got it settled yet. People need to know about their salvation. And if people think they're going to heaven because of their membership, that's a false hope. No church. I believe Jesus started the local Baptist church. I believe that with all my heart. But no church gets you to heaven. Only Christ gets you to heaven. There's a lot of people saved outside of Baptist churches. There's a lot of good people out there. The Baptist church no Baptist church ever did save anybody, and it never will save anybody. It's the Savior of that church that gets people saved. Why are you making that a point, preacher? You'd be surprised how many people say, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Methodist, and they're counting on their religion. And religion can't get you to heaven. Right. Religion sends people to hell. Christ takes people to heaven. Amen. So, you'd be surprised. Or they'll say, my daddy was a preacher. We've got four generations in that church. And they're clinging to that. Don't cling to church membership. Cling to Christ. Amen. By the way, you ask him to save you. He'll hold on to you. He's got a hold of your right hand, according to Isaiah 41:13, and he ain't going to let go of it. Amen? Amen? So then, and then thirdly, if we say that the membership of our church can be made up partly of those who are not yet sure of salvation, then the church ceases to be an assembly of born-again believers and becomes merely a religious club, and that's the picture of most churches today. It's a social and a religious club, but it's but it's not a salvation. How many are with me? And that's why you see, how can those people do that? They don't even have salvation. It's just a social club. Well, I don't want no social club. I want a church that God built. Amen? And so, okay, flip over your paper now. We're gonna get done with this, Brian. Yes, we are. By the way, it's only the first of 10. But Mark, we have seen, Betty, we have seen several people saved. The whole church is doing this. Now, they started a little bit before we did because we were in another, Josh was teaching the book of Revelation, so we started later on ours. But we've seen people saved in all classes through this Bible teaching. I'm going to make sure you get one of these. If you remind me, I've got some at home. I got a booklet for you. Remind me today, and I'll make sure you get it. Okay, let's talk over what we went through these last 3 or 4 weeks. Number one, does the term being saved leave you with a positive or negative impression? Being saved leaves you with a negative? Man. Well, you're missing. No, being saved leaves. When I say I'm saved, I'm positive. I think you misunderstood, Carl. Being saved leaves you with a positive attitude. Right. No, and that's what Carl was thinking. We're not being saved. I know we're saved. But when a person tells me they're saved, that's a positive to me. Now, unless he's going for something different here. Maybe I read it wrong, Carl. Aren't you glad we're having an open discussion here? I think preacher read it wrong. Yeah. But we're not being saved. We're saved. We're already saved. Once you trust Christ, you pass from death unto life. Well, if someone says to you, "Well, I'm hope I'm going to be saved. I'm working on that's a negative." But if someone says, "Hey, I know I'm saved," that's a positive. And one of our missionaries, Art Ball, wrote all this over in England. And the term being saved. I guess if you think about that, if the word being saved, that would be a negative. Because we're not being saved. You pass from death unto life. Oh, I didn't have this point. Look at John 5:24. What's John 5:24 say? Yeah, I read that wrong, Carl. You read it right. Notice, verily, verily, I'm in 5:24 of John. Verily, verily, I send you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath, that's past tense, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is past from death unto life. We had about 7 people here last week trust Christ as their Savior. The moment they trusted Christ as their Savior, that very instant, God saved them, and they passed from death unto life. They're saved. They couldn't go to hell if they wanted to. Don't want either. Amen? I'm not working to be saved. You can't work to be saved. The work's been done, and we preached about it last Sunday. On the cross of Calvary, that was the work that was done for salvation. Calvary's cross, Jesus shed blood for our sins. Amen? And so there's no works involved in salvation. It's a gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast. And so look at John 5:24. Let's read that again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, you got to hear it. And so then faith comes by hearing. So then faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Amen. Preaching, so and hearing by the word. You get faith by hearing God's word. 10:17 in Romans. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath. What's hath mean? That's past tense, man. That's right now. You've already got it. You're not hoping to get it, Annie. You got it. And shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life. Man, I'm excited about that. Whew. I know. I can't wait to preach. You ought to wait. I know now the Lord, what the Lord put in me about preaching today is going to work out. It's going to go along with this lesson. And I didn't think about it in this terms. Okay, so then let's look at, is it really important for a person to know whether they are saved, whether or not they are saved? Yes, yes, Mike. Yes. Right. You're right. And that's prevalent. That's the norm. The guy that's hoping. The lady that knew, that's not very, you don't find many people like that. Out of 10 people, you're lucky to find one. I mean that would know that they're saved. Most people say, well, I'm working on it. And we'll get into this next week because we're going to be in baptism next week. I was baptized when I was 7 or when I was 12. How many with me? They'll use baptism. They'll use church membership. They'll use, and like we teach in the book of Romans, they'll use, and they need to know what Romans 2:4 teaches, that the goodness of God brings them to self. They'll say, listen to me, don't talk to me about salvation, young man. I was in the war and everybody, and my whole battalion was killed, but I lived. God spared me. A bomb went off and everybody died, but I didn't. He said, me and God are just like this. Don't talk to me. I've had 35 surgeries. If I wasn't saved, I would have never made them all. Me and God are just like this. They don't know God's been good to them to bring them to repentance, you see. And that's our job to try to show them. Amen? Well, let's look at this. It is really important. On the back page, we're going to finish this today because we're going to do baptism next week. Amen? But I'm glad I want you to share with me, like, because this is what you're going to see out there. This is why we're doing this discipleship course. So we can be better grounded and we can help others. Amen? And is it really important for a person to know whether or not they're saved? God says yes. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Look at 1 John, the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 5. Going towards the book of Revelation. Near the back. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 9. Verse 13 is what we want, but I want to read a few verses before that. If we receive the witness of, are you in 1 John? Not the gospel, John, 1 John. Near the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 5, verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, in other words, you believe what man tells you, the witness of God's greater. If you're going to take what a man will tell you, then you ought to really, far above man is God, so you ought to take real pay attention to what God says. His witness is a lot greater. For this is the witness of God. Well, what is it then? Which he testified of his son. Now God's going to tell us something about. He's testifying of his son, Jesus. Look at verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God, who's the Son of God? Jesus. Hath, to witness to himself. You know why? Because the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in you. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he's not believed the record that God gave his son. I love, keep reading the King James Bible, it'll give you the answer. What's that record, preacher? Well, look at next verse. And this is the record that God's talking about. Are you with me? And this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and his life is in his church. No. Life is in good works. No. Life is in baptism. No. Where's the life at? In his son. He that hath the son, and we said Jesus Christ was the son of God. We've already stated that. He that the son, not sun, moon, Jesus Christ, amen? He that the son hath life. He that not the son of God hath not life. That's not hard to understand. You got Jesus, you got eternal life. You don't have Jesus, you don't have it. Are you with me? These things have I written under who? You, y'all, yuns. You. He said, I'm right. Who's he writing this to? Us, you. He's writing to all of us, ain't he? You all, yuns. Are you with me? He's writing to you. I've written to you that to believe on the name of the Son of God. Now look up here. Wait a minute. He's writing to those that believe on the name of the Son of God. How many have believed on Christ? Just raise your hand. If you've trusted Christ. All right. Look what the Bible says here. These things that are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. You that said you believed on the Son of God, look what he's going to write to you right now. That you may know. Hey, children of God, I don't want you to hope so. I got a know-so salvation. That you may what? Know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Listen, I know it's nothing that I deserve heaven, but because I trusted Christ my Savior, I know I'm going. He says I'm going. I'm going to show you later in my message today how he already, even though we're sitting here right now at 745 North Freedom Street, do you know God already reckons you and I up in heaven with him? I'm going to show you that in preaching hour today. He already sees us risen. Just like Christ. Yes, sir.
Pastor, just a quick explanation. When you were reading in verse 10, it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath to witness in himself. I never had that witness until I got saved a couple of weeks ago.
You're right.
I first always bothered me.
Huh.
Until, but now it doesn't.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes, you do. It's a yabba dabba do, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. When you get saved, I don't always wake up every morning feeling like I'm saved, but I know I'm saved. Sometimes I wake up with a migraine headache. Sometimes I wake up with a backache. How many have ever done that? Or I got gout in my foot. I don't have it right now. Hallelujah. But there's some days I wake up, Bobby, I don't feel like getting up. Hello? Racing, yes, I know what you're talking about, preacher. But I'm still saved. I might even, Annie, I might even wake up depressed.
Wow, there you go.
Because I have depression sometimes. By the way, I think a lot of Christians have depression. How many of you have ever heard of this great preacher called Spurgeon? Did you know Spurgeon used to get so depressed? Spurgeon would have to go away for 3 or 4 months at a time. He would get so depressed. And he'd have, yes, sir, read the biography about Spurgeon, one of the greatest Baptist preachers there ever was. And so, see, look up here. I'm going to be preaching about being happy today, you know. And I heard a statement on the radio. I'm going to preach it today. It's good to be alive! And I'm going to preach that message this morning. And it is good to be alive, amen? I started at the ABL program the other day, and I just can't let loose of it. But it is good to be alive. But sometimes we're not, sometimes I'm not really that happy about being alive. Sometimes, to be honest with you, I want to die. Get out of here. I get sick of it. Hello? Our preacher? You know, I got feelings just like you do. When I hurt, when we lose loved ones, I hurt just like you do. Hello? No, but what you understand is I have a whole church that I worry about. No wonder I got gray hair. When I came here, my hair was nice and dark and black like this guy's. But boy, it'll work out. Wait, I can't wait till you start turning gray, buddy. Start now. We'll get you all silvered out here real quick. Those students in that school and everything, they'll be working on you. But really, life's a gift. And I'm going to share that with you this morning. But if you're going through life and you're discouraged, don't be discouraged. That's normal. The thing is, we need to try to rise above it. Yeah. Amen? Yes? No, you see, he saved our soul. We're still in the flesh. See, we're born with that sin nature, Mr. Sin, carnal mind, old man. Yeah, which is corrupt and deceitful and carnal. And Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Hatred, stronger than hatred. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So you cannot tame this flesh. You cannot tame this flesh. The only way you overcome it is with that Holy Spirit inside you. And we yield to the Spirit, and we overcome the flesh by yielding to the Holy Spirit. Okay. Where are we at? But look up here. 5:13. These things have I written unto you. This is good stuff, isn't it? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Does God want you to know? Look up here real good. Everybody look. Most Christians, even in Baptist churches, many Christians, even in fundamental Baptist churches, still worry about their salvation. They go through life saying, am I really saved? Am I really going to go to heaven when I die? Oh, preacher, I hope I make it. Preacher, I'm trying to, I hope I make it when I die. No, it's got nothing to do with hope. If you've asked Christ to save your soul and you meant it from your heart, you're going to heaven. Well, preacher, I've messed up. So have I. That's why Jesus died for all of us. Amen. Yes, sir. Yeah, we're up and down. Yes. You're right, Carl. We're up and down. Because one moment we feel confident in our salvation. Next moment I don't know, I don't feel like I'm saved. I don't want to go soul winning. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to pray. Hello, anybody home? Hello? Anybody home? Is it just me? Yeah, lights are on. So what does God say we can know? He says in 5:13 that we can know we're going to heaven. These things are written that believe, to you that believe on the name of the Son. By the way, only those that believe on him. Did you see the distinction, Tom? These things have I written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Just those that believe on him now, that you may know that you have eternal life. The lost person can't know it. They can know one thing. They're not going to heaven. And and then look at verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have. God wants us to be confident. He tells us to come boldly to the throne of God over at Hebrews 4:14. And so God wants, many times, Mike, Christians will never witness because they don't even have confidence that they got salvation themselves. How can you tell someone about heaven if you're not even sure you're going there? You're right. And so the answer is yes. It is yes. Now, let's go to the next one. Can you identify when and where you were saved? Yes, I can. And you should be able to also. I got saved when and where. I got saved in 1969. I believe it was the month of October. I don't have the exact date. But the reason I know this for a fact, Rose and I, when we first got married, we rented a duplex. And we were there from June. We got married June 28th. So we were there at the end of June, and we stayed there for like 6 months. And then we left because I bought a Labrador Retriever on our honeymoon, and the landlord said I couldn't keep it. So after a couple months, she says, "You got to get rid of that dog." And I said, "I'm not getting rid of that dog. That's my dog. It's a Labrador. They're going to have Labradors in heaven." Well, maybe. I think they will. And she said, "Well, either you got to go or the dog's going." I said, my dad's going to take him right now. As soon as I find a place, I'll be giving you my notice." And so we bought another house and we left. I kept my dog. Amen. One of the greatest dogs, Royal Duke. One of the greatest hunting dogs I ever owned in my life. Anyways, but I was, it was 1034 and a half Sherman Street, right in North Toledo. I know exactly where I got saved. It was not at night. I don't know the hour, but I know it was at nighttime. And real late, because I came home from work. I was working second shift. And so it would actually be in the morning. It'd be after midnight because I got off at midnight. It took me 30 minutes to get home, maybe about 12:30. So I'd probably be maybe 1 o'clock, 1:30 that night. But I was reading the Bible. I said something to Rosie right before she went to bed, and then I read the Bible, and it, God pricked my heart. And I said, "Oh, my lands, I'm going to hell. I'm just all I got is religion. I don't really have Christ." And I got down on my knees and from an old green couch. You know the story, don't you? You'll hear this a lot, Mark and Betty. When me and Rosie first got married, I bought furniture, avocado furniture. Back in those days, they were real popular. Avocado was a real popular thing. And we bought a couch and a chair, matching chair, lamps and tables and an extra chair and for $110. Yeah. Yeah, and then Rosie, after keeping it about 5 or 6 years, Rosie sold it to her aunt for $50. I wanted to give it to her. She said, "No, I'm not giving that good stuff away." I tell you, you girls are amazing. Anyways, I know exactly where I got saved. You ought to know where. And if you don't know where you got saved, then something's not right. And chances are, if you don't know, listen to me, this is what we're taking. If you don't know, you're probably not saved. That's what happened to Brian. He kept searching his heart on this. Wow, I really don't know. I don't remember. I can't place it down. So you should be able to do it. And number four, why is it important? By the way, I'm just curious. No, I won't do that. I was going to say, if you know, let me just do this. If you know when you died, if you can identify where you got saved, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. If you can't, then you should seek about getting saved. Come and get saved today, and you can know right then where you got saved. Amen. Because the devil will come and say, "You're not saved. You're not saved." Write it in your Bible. "I got saved at this time." And then number four, why is it important that membership of a church be a saved membership? Well, one, to fulfill Scripture. Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You can't get in. Yes?
It wouldn't be a true church.
You're right. It wouldn't be a true church. Because if they're not in Christ, then it's not a true church. Amen? So people do not have false hope. Because just going to church don't get you to heaven. You must be born again. And so number three, so all the church is not just a social club. And then look at number five. Does a saved person ever feel lost? Yes, it does. I know the first bell rang, but then this, let's read this last scripture before the second bell rings. And look at Psalms chapter 51. This is David. David, you can't lose your salvation, but I'm gonna tell you, you still can feel, you can still feel you're out of touch with God. You have the joy of it. You can't lose your salvation, but you can sure lose your joy. Yeah, and the peace. Look at Psalms 51. Look at because we don't have. Just look at verse 8. Make me to hear joy. How many see verse 8 in Psalms 51? Are you with me there? Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. That's what a descriptive picture. You feel so broken. You're hurting so deep within. Hide thy face from my sins. Oh God, don't look at me. I know I've really messed. Hello? And blot out all my iniquities. And he does, by the way. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. We've been trying to get Tammy to sing. I don't know if she's going to do it today or not. Bring back the new again. And I don't know if she's singing tonight or this morning, but she's supposed to be singing that song. Bring back the new again. And cast not away from my, look at this. Look at verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence. Oh, God, don't be so far away from me. I don't want to be away from you. By the way, when we feel we're lost, do we feel closer, far away from God? And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Let me just say, I know the bell rang, but that's all right. I'm the preacher. I can say when we leave, when we don't. That's what I think about being the boss. Amen. Pastoral authority. I love it. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on and off people because Jesus hadn't come here yet. When Jesus came, he said, I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to send the Comforter. And so now in the New Testament, now the day that we live in the church age, people all have the Holy Spirit in them. They don't leave. Amen? But I just want to say, did you notice he said, blot out all my sins? How many see that? Blot out all my sins. I mean, look at verse 1. I'm going to close. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Put right there Psalms 103, verse 12. Psalms 103, verse 12. I'm going to read it and we're going to close. Here's how far God's taken away your sins. He had not dealt with us after our own sins and rewarded us in verse 10 in Psalms 103, according to our iniquities, because if he did, we'd all go to hell. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is the mercy towards them that fear him. Verse 12, as far as east is from west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. If Brother Mark went east and Brother Coolidge went west, would they ever meet again? No, they'd be endless points. He said, that's how far I've thrown your sins away. They're forever gone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the great salvation in Christ. Thank you for this first Bible lesson and on salvation. Lord, we look forward to next week's teaching on baptism. Lord, build our class and build our lives through the preaching of your word and teaching. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.